Dear ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the earnings call of the Nemetschek Group. At our customer's request, this conference will be recorded. As a reminder, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulties hearing the conference, please press star key followed by zero on your telephone keypad for operator assistance. May I now hand you over to Ms. Zimmermann, who will lead you through this conference. Please go ahead, madam.
Thank you, operator. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to our conference call regarding the third quarter 2016. As always, we have prepared a short presentation with the most important figures and events of the last 9 months. At the moment, we are currently having 15 participants in this call, so thank you very much for your interest in Nemetschek. Now let's start with the presentation. I would like to hand over to Patrick Heider, who will lead you through the presentation, and after the presentation, we will be happy to get your questions.
Thank you, Stephanie. Also from my side, a warm welcome to the financial results Q3, 9 months 2016 of the Nemetschek Group. After my short presentation, I'm happy to answer your questions. Let's start with the Nemetschek Group highlights in Q3, 9 months. After extremely strong Q2, positive the revenue development continued in Q3. Revenue in Q3 increased by 18.5% to 83.9 million euro. Revenues in 9 months are up by 19.2% to 245.4 million euro. Organic growth rate on high 17.1%. We continue our great success in internationalization. Revenues abroad increased by 20.7%. The revenue share in Americas is on high 26%. Also, Germany had a very strong growth with 16.1% to 79.4 million euro. Software licenses are up by 20.9% to 129 million euro. Recurring revenues also in growth mode with 16.1%. The share of recurring revenues at 42.5%. Our profitability increased significantly. 9 months EBITDA without the one-time effect in Q2 is up by 30.9% to 64.7 million euro, an EBITDA margin of 26.4%. Let's turn to the second page of the Nemetschek Group highlights in Q3, 9 months 2016. 9 months net income without the one-time effect grew by 44.4% to 34.9 million euro with an EPS at 0.91. Our cash generation is continuing to be excellent and our balance sheet is very solid. Cash flow from operating activities is up by 32.1% to 64.5 million euro with a high conversion rate at 96.9%. Our cash position is at 103 million euro. The equity ratio on solid 42%. This situation gives us leeway for further investments and acquisitions. All in all, new record levels of revenues and EBITDA are expected. This is why we increased our guidance at the beginning of October to the revenue target range of 338 million-341 million in revenues, an increase of 18%-20% year-on-year, and the EBITDA target range without the positive one-time effect of 89 million-91 million euro. This new guidance is set challenging, but reflecting our positive outlook of the remaining last quarter. On page four of the presentation, you can see our dynamic growth in revenues. Q3 revenues are up by 18.5%, organic growth rate on great 14.9% year-on-year. 9 months revenues are up by 19.2% to 245.4 million euro. Solibri and DesignData contributed around 4.6 million euro in total. On the next page, we are showing our great success in further internationalization of our portfolio. Revenues abroad grew by 20.7%. All regions in America, Asia, and Europe are in a stable, healthy growth mode. Our revenue share in the U.S. is now 26%. Also, the German market developed very well. On page six, we reflect our great performance of software license revenues and recurring revenues. Software licenses were up by 20.9% to 129 million euro through new customer wins as well as by higher penetration of existing customers. Combined with our continuing high attach rate of around 70%, this development will lead us to recurring revenues in the upcoming periods. Recurring revenues were up by 16.1% to 104.3 million euro and a revenue share of 42.5%. Page seven is showing our great development in regards to efficiency. EBITDA grew stronger than revenues. EBITDA in 9 months grew without the one-time effect by 30.9% to 64.7 million euro and a margin of 26.4%. This development is reflecting a healthy balance of driving efficiency and investing into new and existing business in order to ensure future top-line growth stability. On the next slide, the strong performance in net income and EPS is reflected. Net income grew by 49.9% to 36.3 million euro, without the one-time effect by 44.4% to 34.9 million euro. The EPS developed accordingly to 94 eurocent and 91 eurocent without the one-time effect. One reason for this overproportional growth in EPS is a low tax rate in Q3 of 22.8%. This results from a one-time tax benefit in the US for specific R&D topics. On page 9, the EPS development without PPA is shown. EPS without PPA grew by 43% to 1.10 euro. EPS without PPA and one-time effect grew by 38.5% to 1.06 euro. Let's move to our segment overview on page 10. In this overview, the one-time effect is not reflected as it is not operational driven. The design segment showed continuing strong performance with a 9-month growth of 13.2% and a high margin of 28.2%. The organic growth rate in the design segment is even higher with 13.7% when you consider the disinvestment of Brand Glaser last year. The build segment continued also his strong growth mode with a rate of 42.6% and an organic growth rate of 33%. The profitability remained stable. The managed segment is developing very well with a growth rate of 19.4% and a margin improvement to 19.3%. After a strong Q2 with a flash anniversary sale, the multimedia segment showed solid growth in line with expectation. The margin is reflecting the planned investment mode. On page 11, we see our great performance in cash flow development. Operating cash flow is up by 32.1% year on year. The investing cash flow is reflecting the acquisition of design data of 40.4 million euro. Same topic to the cash flow from financing activities for taking the loan of the acquisition. The conversion rate is on high 96.9%. Before taking your questions, I would like to confirm our optimistic outlook for the remaining quarter in 2016. The Nemetschek Group is continuing the success story of showing strong organic top-line growth, adding highly strategic brands to the portfolio, performing future-oriented growth investments, driving efficiency and internationalization. We are positive to confirm the adapted guidance of 338 to 341 million in revenues and an EBITDA of 98 to 91 million euro. As already mentioned, that new guidance is set challenging but reflecting our positive outlook of the remaining last quarter. I am now happy to answer your questions. Thank you very much for your interest into the Nemetschek Group.
Thank you. Now we will begin our question and answer session. If you have a question for our speakers, please dial 01 on your telephone keypad now to enter the queue. Once your name has been announced, you can ask a question. If you find your question is answered before it is your turn to speak, you can dial 02 to cancel your question. If you are using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selection. One moment, please, for the first question. The first question comes from Gal Munda, Berenberg Bank.
Hello, hi, thanks for taking my question. I have a few questions if I can. The first one is just on the margin improvement. We've seen now a few years really of starting to, you know, the trend of the margin improvement's been going up, and even though last year we had slightly dilutive impact of the acquisitions, now there's true organic improvement. Mainly seeing at the moment, I think, in the design segment, how can we, you know, how can we look forward? Do you think that build segment is starting to get some margin improvement, or we're still fully in investment mode there, and because of those high growth rates, we're not going to see any of the leverage there? And just on the design segment itself, considering the strong growth and very high margin, just wanted to know how sustainable that is. Is the outlook as positive for kind of next year as it is at the moment? Thanks.
Thank you, Gal, for taking the questions. As we always stated, how we steer the Nemetschek Group in our portfolio, and we talked about very often through that we have those mature brand category, the investment one and the long-term planning one. Definitely what we see is, and when you consider the 2014 margin where we ended with 26 and then in 2000 2015, we had the dilution of as well from the Bluebeam acquisition. As we always stated that we would like to drive organic growth rates and revenue growth, we need to decide, and that's what we're actually doing, how much we will be put to the investment world next year. So we first of all set the first priority into the top line growth. That's what we wanted. And when you see the amazing change of the Nemetschek Group coming to a clear, again, now 10 quarters in a row, clearly two-digit organic growth rate, that's exactly the right question what you posed, how sustainable that is. And we will see as well for the design segment some investments. That's for sure. And as I said, always the brands are going to apply for investments in order to ensure future top line growth. So I wouldn't expect that we always deliver that one what we delivered this year. We are feeling well in that region, but we always stated as well that we need to drive investments, and this is will be reflected the next years. Especially for the build segment, there we integrated, that's what you asked as well, there we integrated the last three acquisitions. And especially for Bluebeam, what we always stated as well, that they are a growth company and delivering the 30 to 40% of growth rates, that's fine when they are slightly below the group margin level. But if they would reduce their strong growth a little bit, and that will be one day natural, we don't see it for the next 2 or 3 years, then they definitely increase the build segment margin as well, because of course they have a high proportion, and the same is valid for all the other acquisitions. So the target is definitely that we're going in a let's say approach to the group margin level in the build segment the next years as well. But as long as they are delivering the margin at the top line growth, sorry, then we are fine with that.
Okay, thank you. Just a quick update on the M&A. What's kind of your firepower at the moment, and are you thinking mainly still about the build segment, or are you starting to look further down down the value chain, potentially in the managed segment as well?
Yeah, okay, great. The purchase price power, we call it, is still around the 200 million euros in purchase price power. That leads us to a debt equity ratio and 3x EBITDA. That's where we see a healthy growth sustained and ensured. And the firepower in terms of pipeline is still, it's very interesting targets. Or as we stated, we build it and reflect it up in the Nemetschek Group and M&A part. And I would say 10 to 12 targets are in that pipeline. We delivered the last 3 years always one, and we are always, you know us, with our M&A approach, post-merger integration is quite easy, so we would be ready to go for next one. But again, we don't need to, but we want, of course, but that's a seller-oriented market at the moment. And so we're going through the targets, and they are in all regions in that world. As we always stated, the idea would be as well, would be nice to see one in Asia. So they are in the US, in Americas, in Asia, in Europe targets or and ideas. And I wouldn't say that the fact that we contributed 3x in a row to the build segment is somehow realistic, that in the design segment we are almost, we don't see the highest probability. So it's more into the build segment. FM would be an interesting one, managed segment, and this is where we are. And so that means we have possibilities and we are continuing in that idea.
Thank you. That sounds great.
Thank you, Gal.
The next question comes from Knut Woller, Baader Bank.
Yeah, hello. A couple of questions. One just as a follow-up from what Gal just asked, and just to clarify, Patrick, regarding the design segment, do I interpret your comment correctly that you expect only a decline from the close to 30% margin that we have seen now in Q3 to maintain the growth rate of the segment also in 2017, so that we shouldn't model a similar margin going forward, but still at a high level? And hence, do you also assume now that the margin progression this year was much more favorable than thought in the beginning, that there is room for further margin progression also when I look at the other segments where you invested already, that we should see also in 2017? I know it's still early stages and you haven't provided guidance, but just looking at your track record, would you agree that there's room for further margin progression also in 17? And can you just remind me about the growth Bluebeam achieved now in the first 9 months? And lastly, also on the design segment where growth slowed now sequentially, how should we think about the segment for the full year and then also looking in 17 in terms of growth? Thank you.
Okay, so for the margin and the design segment, again, I need to prioritize, and we are going to prioritize as an executive board, and that's definitely a top-line growth. I wouldn't expect an increase of margin in the design segment. Again, we are discussing more how could the brands in 2 or 3 years' time ensure that nice growth rates, what they are delivering now. As you know as well, years ago, those brands were delivering not the top-line growth. They were because they are not in, were not in the investment mode. So I wouldn't see a lot of room and potentials in an increase of margin in the design segment. I would even see that we need to invest further, and we need to bring the brands into further internationalizations, product innovations, and all those things. So on a group margin level, I would say we are feeling well where we could end in the, or where we will end in the year's end. But it means as well, we as a group need to invest. So take, for example, when you put the M&A part, the anorganic part, and we would have a wonderful new acquisition like Bluebeam, that would definitely go into the dilution as well on a group margin level. So again, the prioritization is, we are not saying that we are not respecting scalabilities and efficiency in our portfolio. We are driving, as you see today, but the years but there's a natural limit in a margin when you want to ensure the top line growth opportunities. For the second question was for the Bluebeam, the development of Bluebeam and the growth, and we are still very happy. What we guided the next years for sustainable was along the idea 30 to 40%. We keep that. They had a kind of, I wouldn't say weaker, but that's traditional for them, Q3. That was not as strong as the Q1 and Q2, but that was normal because what happened or what always happens in Q3 that they're concentrated on the three big conferences they are into. So they have the big American conference, two European conferences. We keep the idea of the 30-40% for the next 2 or 3 years sustainable. And this is where they are in the, at the moment on a 9 month base, they are delivering a great results more nearer to the 40 than to the 30. And the last question, Knut, help me out again, was?
It was in the media segment regarding the slowing growth, how we should think here about growth for the full year and also looking at 17. I mean, you invest, which is reflected in the margin. How should we think here about the growth for the full year and also looking a bit further down the road?
Yeah. Of course, when you see it to the other three successful segments, you would say it's a slow growth. We would say it's in line with expectations. Always, we said in the very first beginning, it's in the single digit, end of the single digit growth rate, so near to 10. And I don't, you know, how open we communicate to the financial markets. I don't take that following information as an excuse, but there we have the lonely currency impact in coming from the British pound. So I wouldn't say that's the excuse, and you know me and us that we are normally not reflecting those things in the operational performance of the brands. So they are in line with expectations. And of course, the next years, the investments they are performing at the moment, they need to be paid back, and paid back of investments is always with a coming back to the growth rates in the double-digit growth rate. So for next years, hopefully already we see from that perspective an improvement, but improvement means not that we are dissatisfied. We are in line with expectations. They are in investment mode, and next year, I wouldn't say that they are dramatically already reflecting the payback of the investments they are doing, but we give the guidance in the end of March.
Great, thank you.
Thank you, Knut.
The next question comes from Andreas Wolf, Warburg Research.
Yes, hello, good morning. Just two questions from my side. The first would be regarding Solibri. My question would be, have you already been able to accelerate organic growth of this subsidiary that you acquired at the beginning of the year? And the second would be on organic growth, looking at it from group level, it has slowed down slightly sequentially, so obviously from 21% to 15%, while Q2 was obviously pretty strong. Is there anything specific that you would attribute it's still at a higher level, but a slightly slower organic growth pace. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for the question. The first one, Solibri. What we always said, we are going to expect 10 to 20% in top-line growth. They are more to the 10 than to the 20. We have room for improvement, but that means we are still really satisfied. They have some discussions. We have some discussions how we could embed them into the Nemetschek Group portfolio. Integration is done as well. So we don't having any negative perspective. But again, they need to get integrated, no negative ideas or no negative things on Solibri, but they, yes, could perform better, definitely, in a way, and they will perform better. For the organic growth rate, the second one, what you said is, I knew that that question will come up, but I need to announce as well that Q2 was really tremendous. I mean, that was a very special one. And we don't see any negative impacts in Q3. We see completely the opposite. We are continuing our great success. And Q2, comparing us to Q2, and you know that we don't steer the overall portfolio in quarters. And I don't want to argue with transfers from Q2 in Q3, but it's like it is. You can't always manage on quarterly basis. So we see it no negative, and we even see still continuing great organic growth rate in the portfolio. Q2 was something very special, and this is no negative impact, no negative trend.
Okay, great, thank you. Just a quick follow-up, if I may.
Of course.
Just on the margin side, so with EBITDA margin coming in at 25%, that was obviously, at least if I see it correctly, influenced by higher personal expenses. Any special effects here? Anything that we should be aware of? Are you increasing personnel? Are you increasing headcount strongly to prepare for further growth? What's behind this? Thank you.
And you only mean the Q3 or the overall?
Yeah, just Q3. So
Q3. So first of all, we have the integration of SDS2 and all the acquisition costs we're taking for the integration and for acquiring them. So all the things about integration of SDS2. And in general, you're right, personal costs, yes, we are a personal human capital company by the end of the day. So we need to invest to ensure the future grows as well, and that's true. But take the acquisition costs as the main factor for the Q3 part. And we had some impact, as I stated already, in the Bluebeam part with some conferences which were held in the build segment.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Martin Jungfleisch, Kepler Cheuvreux.
Yes, hi. Good morning. Thanks for taking my questions. I have three. First of all, regarding software as a service, recurring revenues have reached close to 37 million in the third quarter. How much of that is coming from the rental model, and how fast has this been growing, and maybe how has the customer perception regarding rental products changed? Secondly, if you could please give us some detail on the competitive landscape and how this has changed in the past months, in what segment, for example, is competition most intense? It looks also that Hexagon, for example, is trying to enter the build segment. And lastly, to follow up on merger and acquisition, what regions would be of interest? You mentioned Asia, for example. Would China be also of interest or not yet? Thank you.
Yeah. Coming to the first one, there is no change in the perception of the customer base as well. From the recurring revenues, you could consider 3 to 5% coming from real rental models. And as we always stated, we need to go along with the customer expectations. So we offer different methods and techniques. Others are forcing somebody to do something. We are doing that one not. So we go along and we don't see any big changes. And we offer it technology-wise, and the brands are having a strategy for that one, but no big change from that part. So 3 to 5% is fair enough from the recurring revenue part going to real rental models. Competition, no changes from that side as well. Yes, you are right. some external players outside the AEC industry are going to be interested in AEC, because AEC is wonderful, flourishing in terms of digitalization, IT spendings, CAGR, BIM CAGR. So that's a very interesting idea to jump into. But we still have the big USP of being the competence player in that industry. I mean, 50-55% of our staff are really coming from that industry, whether they are architects, former engineers, coming from construction companies. So we don't see, we see the natural landscape of competition still with the main players in the design segment, Autodesk. In the build segment, as I always stating, it's a kind of difference. You need to see what we offer. So you can't put the build segment to only one competition. For example, with the Nevaris box, we go against REB. But REB is not offering something more. It's only going against Nevaris. Then we having with Bluebeam, we having the actual situation that we see that some competition is waking up, but we see that they are not as strong. With SDS2 design data, we have a competition in the US, mainly with Tekla, that's a Trimble company, and with Solibri, we have a competition with an Autodesk product called Navisworks. And in the managed segment, no big changes neither, a highly defragmented market, and in the multimedia segment, no changes neither. It's as they are in different industry, gaming, filming, broadcasting, one could be mentioned outside the AEC industry, and that would be the foundry. In terms of regions, internationalization, what we always stated, we are a focus company. We want to focus on our main markets, which are interesting for us. That goes along with the BIM idea as well and the status of BIM. So definitely we're going to continue in Americas, in Europe. We're going to continue investing into Asia as well. And Asia means for us Japan, and already Japan, the 9% you see from Japan, the highest portion, meaning 8% are coming from Japan. And that's mainly driven through Graphisoft and Vectorworks there. They are doing a great job there. China is a kind of, yeah, let's phrase it, weak still, but that goes along with the BIM situation there. But as we all also stated, that Graphisoft, one of our leading brands, is there into a committee to define those BIM standards. And when those BIM standards are coming in place, we do see better possibilities. So Asia, meaning for us Korea, China, and Japan, still remaining interesting. And then we are having concepts in mind about something. For example, another BRIC state would be India. But again, as I said, for us it's important that there is a BIM, let's say, awareness, philosophy, regulations coming in place, because we do invest into markets where we ensure the payback first. But that's nice to see India's market, because that's definitely future markets, and that's all around. Hopefully that answers your questions in terms of internationalizations.
Yes, perfect. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Mr. Chandramouli Siramani, MainFirst Bank.
Yeah, hi. Good morning, Patrick, and congrats on a good quarter. Just a couple of clarifications. First thing is the build growth seems to have slowed a bit in Q3. I just wanted to clarify what drove this. Is it something one-off? Is it because of the disruption from the integration of acquisitions? Just some color on that would be helpful. And also in terms of the build margins, this is obviously dropped on the back of hiring. Should we now expect margins to stabilize from here going forward, or do you see some more downside before we see an improvement in terms of margins on the segment?
Okay. Thank you, Chandra, for the questions. And the first one is all about growth in Q3. Again, no negative effects. There are some, take for example, one example is the Maxon Sales Flash. That was one reason for the wonderful Q2. We had a weaker Q2 in the year before, so all in all, the Q2 was extraordinary. Q3 is great. So that's the message. No any negative development in terms of trends. And yes, there are some transfers from Q2 or from Q3 the other way around to Q2. So we don't see it. For example, in the build segment, what I stated as well, there is a more or less natural reason, for example, that Bluebeam is in Q3 a little bit weaker than the other quarters. That was, let's say, forecasted because, again, in Q3 they are going to be concentrated on their main three conferences, one in America, the big one, and two in Europe. For the margin side, the same situation. As I always state, we need to ensure future top-line growth. And I wouldn't say that we are not anymore the EBITDA optimizer. We want to ensure future top-line growth, and that's what we achieved the last year, not meaning that we are not driving profits and driving efficiency in the portfolio, but let's see what we come out. I wouldn't set, and I don't want to set an increase always in that kind what we performed this year. When we invest and where we invest, we always give you good reasons, because definitely the whole pie will benefit from that, because we are generating more profits and more value to the company. And that's the idea. So I wouldn't expect a permanent increase there. That's a nice situation what we have at the moment, and actually, but the future will be definitely, again, will be first priority revenue growth with a healthy and good margin development.
Okay, perfect. Just one clarification. I wasn't sure I heard it right. Did you say that Bluebeam growth for the year will be closer to 40% than 30%?
For the whole year we are at the moment in a 9 month perspective closer to the 40%, but what we guide them is 30 to 40%.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Lars Dannenberg, Hauck & Aufhäuser.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. Not much left actually. Just on M&A again. What is the multiple situation currently there? You said, is it a vendor market, and how is pricing there? And then the second question is regarding investments. So when we look into 2017 going onwards, what will be the major fields of investments, you said? So will it be in which segment, design, build, whatever, so the organic investments? And will it be in staff or will it be in technology? And how many people do you want to ramp up additionally? And the last one is housekeeping. The tax rate was very low in Q3. What was the reason for that? Thanks.
Yeah, thank you, Lars, for the questions. The first one, no changes in the multiple. Yes, it's a vendor market. Yes, they expect at the moment, because of the valuation of the whole industry, they expect something special, I would say. We see still realistic to win those ideas with 3 to 5 times revenue multiples, 15 to 17 in EBITDA multiples. We proved it with our acquisition that we are in line with those expectations. And by the way, we have a unique USP. We as a company taking the brands and encourage them to continue entrepreneurship. That's a big USP we have in place. And this is why we not always pay the last cent in purchase price. And for former founders, and as you know, we only talking to former founders, that's something very special. So the bidding, we are always in bidding circles to win those acquisitions. And there, from that perspective, we are already ranked first priority, because that's something special. And all the feedback we received, whether you take Design Data, whether you take Bluebeam or Solibri, that's great that I can continue my entrepreneurship and I can live with that highly interested, decentralized approach that Nemetschek Group is delivering. For your second question is the investment, or there are various fields. As I said, there are some megatrends in the industry, but not taking too much into megatrends. It could be also on the interface from the design to the build segment, what we could imagine about, and thinking about what I always gave as a kind of idea, how could the architectural market and the architectural model come closer to the engineering model. So what we do as a competence leader and technology leader in that industry, and we are perceived as the one driving most innovation in the market, we would like to exactly be a step before competition is there. That's the first mover effect. We want to offer something special to the industry and change the idea how to come close to the BIM result. And the BIM result is, in the end of the day, that the customer is asking for the quality he was asking for, the first three dimensions, and the time and the cost perspective. So it could be various, it could be along the whole value chain. And what we always stated as well, it's not really only technology, it could be also sales channel, it could be everything what helps us in AEC. The last one was the tax rate. There we had a nice, let's say, check and program with a special credit on R&D investments for American-driven companies. And that was the reason what I announced during my presentation for the low tax rate in Q3. And that was nice. And we guided around the 30-32% to the year end. So this is how we see it. Actually, it all depends on currency impact. It all depends on where we are generating the profit, but it's a slightly slower than we thought, how we thought it in the very first beginning of the year. So we will end it up a little bit better in a way of the tax rate.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The last question comes from Malte Reta, Commerzbank.
Yes, good morning, Malte Reta. First question is, can you share with us the penetration rate of Bluebeam and Solibri in your European customer base? And the second question is, can you talk about why do you think that Solibri is currently performing at the lower end of your expectations? Thank you.
So the penetration rate, as we always state for Bluebeam especially, it's very difficult because the market is not really defined yet. Collaboration in AEC is something new, and this is why they're growing so fast. We always see different penetration is something nice, but the potential of the market is at the moment just showing that there isn't got a limit for the next 2 or 3 years that it could slow down. So we don't have a, let's say, penetration because competition is not that strong at the moment, and this is why we don't have a penetration rate. And for Solibri and the performance of Solibri is we are not dissatisfied. I want to make that one sure. But when you're getting integrated, you were alone in the market, and now you see the huge potentials within the Nemetschek Group with cross-selling ideas as well, and with whom could you do what? That takes time. That's a pure underestimation, or let's say an overestimation we maybe put into. That's something normal when you go and see and combine yourself with what could you do more with Profisoft, what could you do more with Allplan, what could you do more with the other brands. So again, no crucial things, critical things about Solibri, great product, great reputation in the market, and yes, we are going to deliver in the next years the growth, but it's a little bit from the time perspective lagging to the future or transferred to the future. So negative, no negative things on Solibri, but a little bit, and as open as we are, we state as well that we over-expected a little bit.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
There are no further questions at the moment. As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad now. There are no further questions at the moment. I hand back to the speakers.
So again, thank you very much for your interest in the Nemetschek Group. The next weeks, we will definitely meet all of you, most probably, because we are on the road again. And we are really positive about Q4. And I wish you personally a nice year end and all the best. Talk to you soon. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your attendance. This call has been concluded. You may disconnect.